What's good, everybody? It's your man, Big Dom, host of the True Players Podcast, hitting you with the upfront, blatantly honest, in-your-face, no punches held, opinions on sports, current events, relationships, and many other topics along the way. Check out this next episode of my podcast.
You can never be too cheated up for love.
No problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freaking king size squeaking after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Girl, you sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy would be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
Was the night before that night. I was born on that day, but not last night. Once upon a time, I had my cash right.
Down, coming live next to another True Players Podcast episode. What's good, everybody? It's me. What's going on, people? Gonna hit you up another episode on the True Players Podcast. We're gonna recap last week's wild card series on the podcast. You know, I know I'm up late. I know I'm late, guys, but you know. All good things you got to wait for, in my opinion. So I'm going to give you guys a brief recap and also preview of the following games for next week. So let's get to it. You know, let's start with the first, the Seahawks and the 49ers. Our old friend, if I'm a big Jet fan, my old friend Geno Smith made his debut in the playoffs after playing in the league for 12 seasons, starting quarterback. He did have a great start. However, he was stripped and sacked and fumbled the football. And guess what? The floodgates opened over there in Santa Clara. And then after that 76-16 lead by the Seahawks, the 49ers just took over. Brock Purdy, you know, got over his nervousness and actually led the team to a whopping 41-23 win against the Seahawks. Brock Purdy was 18 of 30 for 332 yards and 3 TDs. Christian McCaffrey contributed with 15 carries, 119 yards. Geno Smith was 25 of 35 for 253 yards, 2 TDs, an interception, and a fumble lost. So that fumble loss was critical. And DK Metcalf had a big game. 10 receptions, 136 yards. That was Geno's go-to guy. And Debo Samuel contributed on the other end for 6 receptions, 133 yards. Basically, this was a game that the third-string quarterback, Brock Purdy, who was better than my starting quarterback by far, was nervous in the first half, had to get his bearings underneath him. You know, so it's a playoff game. So, you know, being a young quarterback, he has some, you know, some nervousness. And once that had that big momentum shift with the fumble recovery of the strip sack of Geno Smith, then he started to relax, started taking over. And then in the second half, 49ers took over and routed the Seahawks. So the Seahawks had a decent season. There's a lot of things the Seahawks need to work on, which is their defense. They need to work on their defense big time. I think that's the only thing that's holding them back. But they got to resign Geno Smith. Geno Smith will be sought after. He did mention he's going to talk about business. This is business. I get it. But Geno, don't get ahead of yourself. It took you 12 years to be this good. So let's not get ahead of yourself. You know, I believe in your abilities. I always believe in your abilities. But do the right thing. What's best for yourself and your family and your career. And also don't be too arrogant in regards to contract negotiations. On the 49ers now, they go on to take on the Cowboys next week. This coming, I think Saturday or Sunday. I got to remember the dates. But this week, actually, not next week. And now let's go over to the Chargers versus the Jaguars. Big upset by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was watching that game from the start to the end because I wanted to see how Trevor Lawrence was going to do in his first playoff appearance. Same thing with him with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't turn the ball over, but Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions in the first half. The Chargers had a 27-7 lead going into halftime. And to say the least, I thought the football game was over. But then Trevor Lawrence showed everybody why he was the number one pick in the draft 2 years ago. And he showed why he was leaps and bounds ahead of my quarterback. He had the mettle, he had the mental toughness to overcome those 4 interceptions to lead his team back to win the football game 31-30 on a game-winning field goal at the end of the game. You know, it's a stunning development when it comes to that. I don't know what the Chargers was doing. I don't know if they forgot how to play or what was it that allowed them to come back. It was some turnovers in the football game. Etienne because I'm Haitian, so it's Etienne. Maybe it was Etienne. No, that's not how you say it. But anyway, he had 20 carries for 109 yards. Trevor Lawrence ends up finishing off with 28 for 47, 288 yards, 4 TDs, 4 interceptions. The 3 TDs came in the second half. Justin Herbert had 25 of 43 for 253 yards and a TD. And a big game by the Giants cast off tight end Evan Engram. He had 7 receptions for 93 yards and a TD. And like I said, that's why this guy is different than all the quarterbacks. And I when I talk about this about my fellow Jet fans about Zach Wilson, how everyone keeps on defending him. There's nothing to defend. He came from a smaller conference, came from a small town over there in Utah. He played in Utah, Brigham Young University. He's not under the bright lights. Trevor Lawrence has been under the bright lights. So for him to throw 4 interceptions and to come back and throw 3 TDs in the second half to lead his team into the comeback, that's just experience being under the bright lights. That's all it was. Being in college playoff games, being in national championship games, I think for Trevor Lawrence, I think twice or 3 times. So that's just his experience being under the big lights. And that showed his mettle today. I don't know what happened to the Chargers. Like I said, I don't know what happened to the Chargers, but heads did roll. Offense coordinator stepped down. Greg Roman did step down. And a lot of things happening. So now the Jaguars are going to go over to Kansas City and try to pull another upset against the Chiefs. All right. So let's get to the Cowboys and the Bucks. I'm going to save the Giants for last because that's the New York team. That the New York team is going to be last. Okay. Cowboys versus Bucks. Let me ask you guys a question. Is this Tom Brady's final hurrah in the NFL? Or is it going to be his final hurrah in the Bucks uniform? In his swan song, he went 35 66, 251 yards and a TD. Too many passes for him. He could have ran the football a little bit more. Heads did roll in the Tampa Bay coaching staff. Byron Leftwich was fired as offensive coordinator. Some defensive coaches were fired. Ty Bowles is cleaning house. All right. But let me get to the Cowboys. Prescott was 25 of 33 for 305 yards and 4 TDs. And 4 TDs, but 5 TDs altogether. One TD rushing. Like I said, you know, the Cowboys showed they were the better team. They won on the road. It's a good win for Dak Prescott. You know, a lot of Giants fans are going to hate me for talking about the win of the Cowboys win, but they earned it. They earned it. Did they win? They went down the Tampa, did what they were supposed to do against a team that had a poor offensive line. Offense has been struggling most of the year, and the defense wasn't as good as it was in years past, and he got past them. Okay? So, like I said, 49ers Cowboys, the rivalry restarts again this weekend. 49ers and Cowboys for the right to go to the NFC Championship game. All right. So now let's get to the Bills and the Dolphins, which was a close game, which the Bills was able to hold on and win 34-31. And I honestly did not think that Miami would put up such a fight. I didn't honestly. With they were on their third string quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater was injured, but he was eligible to play. He was the backup quarterback, and they made a game of it. You got to give Miami a lot of credit. Give the coach McDaniel a lot of credit, and making that game competitive for them. So the Bills now will get their instant rematch with the Bengals on that night when DeMar Macklin collapsed. I know I didn't speak about it the last podcast, which is my fault. It was a very scary situation two weeks ago, almost two, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, I'm glad he's doing well. He's back home recovering from his cardiac event. I'm not going to go into speculation about how or what caused it, because I'm going to open up my worms and end up on the domestic terrorist list. So I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. But now the Bills and the Bengals all set to go this coming weekend. The Bengals took care of the Ravens, which was a close game. It was a close game, a big game, which Tyler Huntley fumbled at the goal line when he was trying to reach over for the goal line for the touchdown, and he was stripped, and it was returned for a touchdown. 98-yard fumble return by Hubbard. A lot of things came out of this game about, you know, Michael Vick said that Lamar should have played, put a brace on it and play, and RG3, you know, said that don't do it. You end up like RG3. RG, I remember that player. I watched that playoff game when RG3 played with that bad, when he injured his knee during the playoff game. I was there. I was watching that game. And that altered RG3's career. And Lamar Jackson did the right thing. He's a free agent at the end of the season. He did the right thing by protecting himself. If the team wants him back, they'll work on a contract to get him back. But the fact of the matter is he doesn't have an agent, which is not the smartest thing to do. You always need an advocate when you're doing contract negotiations. But, you know, long story short, the Bengals is going to face the Bills next week. I mean, not next week, this coming weekend. And we'll go from there. Joe Burrows, again, I like Joe Burrows, man. He's a great quarterback. He's going to be next Joe Cool. He's like Montana-esque. I see that with a better arm. Montana-esque. And for all you guys who complain about teams who don't have offensive lines, you need an offensive line to win. This guy right here is showing why you don't need an offensive line to win. And he's surviving all the hits he's getting. He's surviving it. It takes a tough person to deal with that. But, of course, you would want to have the good offensive line to protect you. So that's it on that end. For the Ravens and Bengals, Jamar Chase, again, 9 receptions, 84 yards, and a TD. All right? That was the only TD Joe Burrow threw in that game. So we'll see what happens. Bills and Bengals, I'm going to go into depth later on in the podcast in regards to who I think will win. I should have betted this week, because we're gonna talk about the Giants. All the Giants fans, stand up. Stand up, Giants fans. I want all the Giants fans to stand up right here. I was watching that game. Stand up. Stand up, Giants fans. Stand up. Yes, the Giants were my upset special. If you listen to the podcast last week, they were my upset special, and they came through. And I knew they were going to beat the Vikings. But the Vikings, first of all, don't have a good defense. And second of all, that first game showed me a lot about how closely these teams match up. This was a bad matchup for the Minnesota Vikings. Very bad matchup. The Giants played them tough the first game in Minnesota. They lost the game due to a 60-yard field goal in overtime. The Giants made sure that was going to happen. Danny Dimes made sure that was not going to happen. So Danny Dimes, first quarterback in history in a playoff game to have over 300 yards and over 70 yards of rushing with 2 TDs. That's the first time in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? And Isaiah Hodgins is showing himself to be the number 2 receiver behind Darius Slayton. 8 receptions, 105 yards, and a TD. They pretty much kept Saquon Barkley under wraps. But this was all about Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones, he's going to be a free agent this at the end of the season. He deserved his dimes. When that contract comes, it's not going to be a tough negotiation, but he deserved his dimes because he won this game on his own. He won his game on the defense. He won his game on the offensive side. On the offensive side, defense did their thing on the other side of the football. Great. They held on to win it. The Vikings was on their driving at the end of the game to try to win the game. The defense stood tall. Leonard Williams, Dexter Manley. The secondary did a phenomenal job. You know what I'm saying? Holding on to win that football game. And once again, let's give it for the Giants. One more time. Let me do it one more time. There you go. That's the Giants move on to go play against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully it's third time going to be the charm against the Giants. I'm going to start off with that game for this weekend. I believe it's going to be this Saturday, the Giants versus the Eagles. In the divisional championship game in the NFC. The Giants played them tough on week 18. Played them tough. It was a tough game for the Eagles. While the Giants had trotted out Davis Webb out there, the Eagles didn't have to play against Saquon or Danny Dimes or any of the top receivers. And the second team of the Giants gave the first team defense of the Eagles a tough time. This could be a very close game. So the thing is that it's all about Jalen Hurts' health and getting the ball to A.J. Brown. And it's going to be a close game. I wish I could be in Philadelphia to watch that game. It's going to be action-packed. Giant fans, you know how Philly is. Don't wear your Giants jersey to Philly. You're going to get jumped. Don't do it. Don't do it. But they're going to do it anyway. So it's on them, not me. So it's going to be a big game this week. New York is going to be watching. And this situation must be killing Woody Johnson right now. Killing him. The Giants is getting all the back pages right now. They did a big upset last week. This weekend they're going to the divisional round of the playoffs with the opportunity to be in the NFC Championship game. This team whose offensive line was not that great, a team that lost Sterling Shepard for the year and didn't have no other receivers other than Darius Slayton. And Isaiah Hodges stepped up in that role to fill in that gap during the playoffs. You know, big players show up on the biggest stage, and Isaiah Hodges definitely showed up in this stage. Danny Dimes showed up and took over to control the game on the offensive side of the football. This is good. This is good things. This is probably the first time out of everybody in the playoffs I saw first timers in the playoffs show some nerve, some tightness. Danny Dimes came in there and did his thing. He's like, I'm going to win with my legs. Then I'm going to win with my arm. And the receivers made the plays when they had to. And that's why the Giants is moving on to face the Eagles this weekend. All right. So I'm going to do my picks right now before we end the podcast. Okay, guys? Before I end the podcast, I'm going to do my picks. Okay? 49ers versus the Cowboys. Is there going to be an upset special this weekend? I'm going to rock with the 49ers against the Cowboys. Sorry, Cowboys, your season ends this weekend. Okay? And also, we're going to go to the Bengals and Bills. I believe that's going to be done at a neutral site. But I'm going to lean with the new Joe Cool, Joey Burrows, and the Cincinnati Bengals to beat the Bills. Let's go back to the AFC Championship game. The Chiefs against the Jaguars. Gotta love the wave of Trevor Lawrence. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say this right now. This will be my upset special of this week. Jaguars over the Kansas City Chiefs in a close game. It's going to be high scoring, guys. In a close game, Trevor Lawrence is going to give the upset special. That's the upset special I'm going with this week. And then we go on to the New York Giants versus the Eagles. In a close game, the Eagles will win this game, unfortunately. I'm going to rock with the Eagles on this one. But would I be surprised if the Giants have an opportunity to win the game in the end of the fourth quarter? I'm not putting that out. I'm not going to doubt that. It's going to be a close football game. I'll tell you that much. It's going to be a close football game. Brian Daboll has the team rocking. So we're going to see what happens this weekend. So this is what I have for the AFC Championship game. Bengals versus Jaguars. NFC Championship game. Eagles versus 49ers for the right to go to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So that's going to be it for the preview of this coming weekend and the recap of the games last weekend. I want to talk about the Knicks a little bit. Knicks fall to 24-20. For some reason, this Knicks team can't win at home. And that's something that the coach has to figure out, the players have to figure out. It's a decent team, but do they need one more guy. One more guy who could definitely hit the game, be clutch. And the guy the Knicks should be looking at right now, in my opinion, they're talking about the only way I would trade quickly is if you could get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The only way I trade quickly. And I honestly don't want to trade quickly. I don't want to trade him. I'd rather keep him with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the two guard. Maybe you do a deal where you give them, you have to give up either over Obi Toppin, which I don't want to give up either. I don't give him up either. But definitely Cam Reddish would have to go in that deal. Evan Fournier, and probably have to give up two of those first round draft picks to get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Knicks to get that one more player that can make a difference at crunch time. And me personally, I'm going to tell you guys, well, while watching the games, Brunson misses a game-winning three-pointer. Randall seems to like to play hero ball when they're down, and he wants to be the hero. Something is wrong because I don't like the fact that those two guys have the ball at crunch time. I understand Jalen Brunson is doing well. He should be in an all-star game with Randall. But for some reason, what I've seen in the games, he's been clutch 50-50. But the guy that needs to have the ball in his hands is R.J. Barrett. Because if it was for his dunk at the end of the fourth quarter against the Raptors, he dunked on Barnes to send it to overtime. You know what I'm saying? R.J. Barrett has to be the one that has the ball in his hands. For me, he's much more clutch than the other two. And he can get to the free throw line. I mean, Brunson can get to the free throw line too. But for me, right now, the ball should be in R.J. Barrett's hands and secondary in Rick Brunt and Jalen Brunson's hands. Let Randall do the dirty work and grab the rebound and do the putbacks. He should not have the ball at the end of the game in the fourth quarter. He just needs to go grab rebounds, get the rebound, and get a quick shot up or throw it, pass it out for another opportunity for a game winning shot. The Knicks need to definitely look into getting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's a trade I would make for the New York Knicks. May have to do three first rounders. If you're gonna get Fournier and Reddish, may have to do three. What do you think, guys? What do you think? I'm gonna leave it like that. What do you think of that trade? Even though I think the better trade would be Reddish and IQ and two first round picks for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like I said, I don't want to trade IQ. I don't want to trade Cam Reddish. But due to the fact that the coach does not like him, he doesn't play him, what choice do you have? You know, you can't leave talent on the bench if you're not going to use it. And Cam Reddish is a talent. I see it. One day he's one of those guys that, give him, if he gets steady playing time in the next two seasons. By the third season, he's going to be a superstar in this league. He just hasn't had gotten the consistent playing time to showcase his talent, which is a damn shame. So on that note, ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast for today. Any comments, comments and complaints or feedback on the podcast, feel free to hit me up on my YouTube page, or you can hit me up on my Facebook page for the podcast, which is www.facebook.com/TruePlayersDom. Hit me up, DM me, or DM me on Instagram at instagram.com/TruePlayersPodcast. So you can listen to the podcast on Anchor, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, what others, and all the other platforms. You can watch the video version on Patreon and also on YouTube. So it's your man Big Dom. I'm going to sign off on this podcast for you guys. Enjoy the games this weekend. Peace.